Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Man charged with sexually assaulting child multiple times. OA News at OAOA.com. A 40-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly sexually assaulted a girl multiple times while she was between the ages of 5 and 9 years old. Nicholas Charles Barraza was charged with continuous sexual of a child under 14, a first-degree felony. The sexual abuse was reported to the Odessa Police Department on October 27th, an OPD affidavit said. The girl, who is now 10 years old, stated she was sexually assaulted by a family member on several occasions when she was between the ages of 5 to 9 years old. The 10-year-old also reportedly told officers that the actor in the sexual abuse was Barraza. The girl stated in addition to being sexually assaulted, she would also be shown videos of men and women having sex, the affidavit detailed. A warrant was reportedly issued for Barraza's arrest on November 17th. He was arrested and booked into Ector County Law Enforcement Center on December 5th. Jail records show. He has one bond totaling $100,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday morning. Police warn public of skimmer devices. OA News at OAOA.com. The Odessa Police Department is warning the public about multiple skimmer devices found at Uncle's Convenience Store located at 1515 South Grandview, an OPD press release detailed. A skimmer device reportedly reads and stores information from the credit or debit card magnetic strips when a customer enters their card into an ATM. The device is able to retrieve customers' debit or credit card information, the name of the cardholder, and the PIN number associated with the card. If anyone believes they have been a victim of this, they are encouraged to contact their bank, monitor their accounts, and notify their financial institution of any unauthorized transactions, the press release stated. OPD has released a photo of what a skimmer device looks like that can be seen at tinyurl.com/y3j7mn3b. Anyone with information about this investigation is asked to contact the Odessa Police Department Criminal Investigation Division or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. MCH announces 150th COVID-19 related death. OA News at OAOA.com. Medical Center Health System reported its 150th COVID-19 related death Tuesday. The patient, a 66-year-old male, died Tuesday afternoon. The patient was a resident of Ector County and was admitted to Medical Center Hospital on November 9th. The patient had pre-existing conditions. The family has been notified. Letter to the editor. Rehab house has upset neighborhood residents. The author is Mark Loomis. The disturbing news of a drug addict and alcoholic rehab house in my neighborhood is more than I can stand. All of us in Edmond Estate and Plantation Oaks divisions enjoy a quiet, peaceful life. But with the news of this house on Edmond has more than just me upset. Edmond Estate neighbors have for the past few weeks seen suspicious activity going on. I called OPD last Saturday with concerns of a man being dropped off in front of my house and watching him walk south through the alley and hide in an oleander bush for 45 minutes, only to be picked up at the place he was left. My neighbors are worried about this and have seen some peculiar goings on. I would have liked to have gone to the city council meeting on Tuesday night, but it is a virtual meeting and would have to have registered for it by 5 p.m. on Monday. This type of halfway house has no business being in a residential setting, and I'm sure that the council members could care less, probably because this does not affect where they live. I'm sick of the way the city of Odessa disregards citizen concerns. I'm sick of them raising our taxes and not getting anything in return. I agree that addicts and alcoholics do need the help and guidance that they sorely need, but I'm asking not in my neighborhood. Obituaries. Wanda Faye Green, Odessa. Wanda Faye Green, 89, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on December 3, 2020. Funeral services and burial will be held privately for immediate family on December 9, 2020, with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell, hospice chaplain, officiating at Sunset Memorial Gardens. A memorial service will be scheduled at a later date. Wanda was born August 23, 1931, to Foy French and Ruby French Sanders in Big Spring, Texas, but soon relocated to Odessa, Texas, her lifelong home. She graduated from Odessa High School. She married Gail Green on June 15, 1951, in Levington, New Mexico. Wanda is preceded in death by her husband, Gail Green, her father, Foy French, stepfather, Thomas Did Sanders, mother, Ruby Sanders, and sister, Teresa Sanders. Wanda is survived by her daughter, Debbie Davis, and her husband, Troy, son, Ray Green, and his wife, Kwana, four grandchildren, her fuzzy companions, Mutt and Puff, her cherished Northside Baptist Church family, and numerous dear friends. Memorials may be given to Hospice of Odessa and Meals on Wheels. The family of Wanda wishes to extend our sincere thanks to the doctors and nurses of the 9th floor COVID unit at Medical Center Hospital, and a special thanks to all who have provided heartfelt words of comfort and sympathy during this time. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Aubrey Allen Stuffin, Odessa. Aubrey Stuffin went to his heavenly home on morning of November 27, 2020. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, December 11, 2020, at Greenfield Acres Baptist Church, with Pastor Jimmy Skiles officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. He was born at Lee Stores, Texas, to W.A. and Jewel Stuffin on February 27, 1936. Aubrey enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps, honorably serving during the Korean War. He was awarded the Purple Heart after being wounded in action. He married the love of his life, Jerry Shearer, on August 16, 1957. They were blessed with 63 years of loving each other. Aubrey is survived by his wife, Jerry, his daughter and her husband, Donna and Kelly Pierce, his son and his wife, Alan and Janet Stuffin, three grandchildren, six great-grandchildren, sisters Sandy and husband Dan Brock, Brenda Jonas, and Janice and Carol Channing. arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Marthana Hamblin Sewell, Odessa. Marthana Hamblin Sewell was born in Jackson, Mississippi to Zara Waldruff Hamblin and Roy E. Hamblin on January 26, 1938, and she departed this earth to be with her Savior on November 24, 2020. Marthana was born and raised in Jackson, Mississippi, and after graduating from Central High School, she attended TCU for 2 years. In Albuquerque, she met the love of her life, Keith Sewell. They were married at First Christian Church in Jackson, Mississippi on July 8, 1966. After moving to Odessa, Texas, Martha was named the Publicity Chair for the Odessa Newcomers Club in 1968. In April of 1971, Keith and Marthana Sewell welcomed twin girls, Susan and Sandra, into the world. Even though Sandra was only in their lives for one day, she was always held in their hearts. Marthana is preceded in death by her parents, Zira and Roy Hamblin, and her infant daughter, Sandra. She is survived by her husband, Keith A. Sewell, her daughter, Susan Henry, and husband, Jim, and her grandchildren, Grace and Weston. Graveside services will be held at 3 p.m. Friday, December 11, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens, and pastors Don and Joe Weeks officiating. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Jason McApagel Piley, Odessa. Jason J.J. McApagel Piley, 44, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on December 5, 2020. Jason was born in Manila, Philippines on September 4, 1976. He finished his primary schooling at Pacho Catholic School and continued at Republic Institute, Manila, Philippines, where he finished high school until he, his parents, and brother migrated to United States in 1995. Jason worked for Orex Company for almost 13 years. Jason is survived by his daughter, Giselle, a sister, three brothers, cousins, and other family and friends. Jason is preceded in death by Avelino Pilo Sr., Marietta Pilo, and Avelino Pilo Jr. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday at St. Elizabeth Catholic Church. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Wilma Kathleen Wheeler, Rankin. Wilma Kathleen Wheeler died December 5, 2020 in Rankin, Texas. Kathleen was born October 4, 1923 in Goldthwart, Waite, Texas. She was the older of two daughters, born to Lewis and Harlison Wheeler. She moved to Rankin with her family in 1928. Kathleen graduated from Rankin High School in 1940 and then attended Sol Ross University for 2 years. Because of severe shortage of teachers due to World War II, she returned to Rankin to teach for 2 years before completing her work for her degree from Sol Ross in 1945. She taught a total of 36 years and said she was always anxious for September to come so she could begin another school year. Kathleen loved to travel and visited over 45 United States. She also traveled over much of Canada and Europe. Kathleen was preceded in death by her parents and her sister, Norma Norris. She is survived by a number of cousins, including Juanita and Billy Ross Wheeler of Fort Worth, Texas. She is survived by many beloved friends. Graveside services will be in Rankin Cemetery Friday, December 11, 2020, at 12 noon. Arrangements are under the care of Schaffer Nicholas Funeral Home of Crane. More death notices. Guadalupe Armabula Flores, Odessa. Guadalupe Armabula Flores, 68 of Odessa, died Thursday, November 26, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, December 11, 2020, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. At the family's request, they have opted for cremation as the alternative means of burial. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Lola A. Sanders Johnson, Odessa. Lola A. Sanders Johnson, 73 of Odessa, died Thursday, December 3, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Robert Munoz Minjares, Odessa. Robert Munoz Minjares, 69 of Odessa, died Tuesday, December 8, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 12, 2020, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Enrique Henry Ramirez, Odessa. Enrique Henry Ramirez, 71, died Thursday, December 3, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Petra Panita Cepeda, Kermit. Petra Panita Cepeda, 69 of Kermit, died Saturday, December 6, 2020, in Kermit. Graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. December 10, 2020 at Kermit Cemetery. Arrangements are by Family Service Funeral Parlor of Texas. Death notices. Michael O'Connor Curry, Odessa. Michael O'Connor Curry, 58 of Kermit, died Friday, December 4, 2020 in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Maria Elena Guevara, Odessa. Maria Elena Guevara, 68 of Odessa, died Friday, December 4, 2020 in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. December 10, 2020 at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Billy Miles Patterson, Odessa. Billy Miles Patterson, 86 of Odessa, died Sunday, November 29, 2020 in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Monday, December 14, 2020, at Rose Hill Section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Tuesday, December 8, 2020. This is the oil page. This article is entitled BP Chief Economist, Company is All In on Energy Transition, by Paul Takahashi, Houston Chronicle. BP's chief economist, Spencer Dale, is quick to profess he doesn't know what the future holds for the oil and gas industry. It's been a bleak year. The energy sector is reeling from the worst oil bust in decades caused by the coronavirus pandemic, which crushed crude demand and led to tens of thousands of layoffs nationally. Even as the industry recovers after the global pandemic, the outlook remains shaky as nations transition away from fossil fuels amid growing concerns about climate change. But Dale says BP doesn't need a crystal ball. After all, he said, no one can predict the future, and it's likely any forecast will turn out to be wrong. We don't know how fast this energy transition is coming, Dale said. Trying to predict how fast it will happen is foolhardy. The smartest strategy is to pick a strategy that fits all the scenarios. BP earlier this year became the first oil major to set a net zero carbon emissions target by 2050 and acknowledged that to reach that lofty goal, it will have to produce less oil and natural gas in the coming decades. The world is on an unsustainable path at the moment, Dale said. Carbon emissions are rising. We need carbon emissions to get to net zero to avoid temperatures going up and up and up. It's unclear, however, how fast the world will shift away from oil, natural gas, and coal and embrace renewable power sources such as solar, wind, and biofuel. BP earlier this year outlined three scenarios for how quickly this transition could take place, depending on government policies, technological breakthroughs, and societal behaviors. The business-as-usual scenario assumes the status quo, while the rapid and net-zero scenarios assume that policies and behaviors shift quickly or drastically to reduce carbon emissions. Under the most aggressive net-zero scenario, global oil demand could fall from 100 million barrels per day to 25 million barrels per day by 2050, Dale said. How can a company, even one that has a lot of resources at its disposal, plan a business model that can account for all these scenarios? Dale said, it's not as hard as you might think. Several common trends are found in BP's scenarios. In all three, demand for crude, natural gas, and coal declined by as much as 80% over the next three decades. At the same time, the share of renewable energy, wind and solar in particular, grows substantially. In fact, renewable energy will be the fastest growing source of energy over the next three decades, becoming as much as 60% of the global energy mix by 2050, Dale said. Although some in the industry argue developing countries will continue to buttress demand for affordable and abundant fossil fuels, Dale said he doesn't believe energy demand in those countries will offset the decline in developed countries. In fact, he said, oil demand in developed nations may have peaked in 2005. Yet, even under the most aggressive net zero targets, the world will still need some oil and natural gas, Dale said. Some industries, such as aviation, trucking, and shipping, will have difficulty making the energy transition from fossil fuels to electric power. Oil and gas companies collectively will still need to invest trillions of dollars in oil and gas to meet the world's energy needs, even under a net zero scenario, Dale said. This article is entitled, Iran Prepares to Raise Oil Production as Biden Presidency, by Golnar Motivali and Arsalan Shala, Bloomberg. Iran is preparing to raise oil exports in a sign the Islamic Republic expects the U.S. to ease some sanctions under a Joe Biden presidency. Tehran will take measures to prepare resources and oil industry equipment for the production and export of oil in line with current capacity within the next 3 months, according to President Hassan Rouhani's official website. Rouhani said that after a 2015 nuclear deal with the U.S. and European powers, Iran was able to lift overseas sales to 2 million barrels a day. We're ready to quickly raise oil production, he said. Biden, who is scheduled to be sworn in as president on January 20th, has signaled he wants to bring Iran back into the accord that was brokered when he was vice president under Barack Obama. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company said Iran could raise crude exports by as much as 1.2 million barrels a day next year if it strikes a new deal with Washington. A production boost of that magnitude would cause problems for OPEC Plus, which is trying to keep output down and bolster prices in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. While Iran is an OPEC Plus member, the cartel has exempted it from production cuts due to the sanctions and its economic strife. American sanctions have crippled Iran's oil industry and caused its exports to drop from 2.6 million barrels a day in 2017 to just 133,000 in November, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Almost all Iran's shipments go to China. U.S. President Donald Trump walked away from the nuclear deal in 2018. Since then, Iran's overall oil production has almost halved to 1.9 million barrels a day. Iran's oil ministry has not officially commented on or addressed oil production and export figures since Trump announced he was reimposing sanctions. Wednesday, December 9th, 2020. This is the Oil and Energy page. This article is entitled, OPEC Plus Needed a SWAT Team, Not 23 Battalions, by Julian Lee, Bloomberg. A little over a week ago, I wrote that oil producers need a mechanism allowing them to respond quickly to changes in the oil market that could be both big and fast. I'm pleased to see that's what they've tried to create, even if it isn't quite what I had in mind. My colleague, Alaric Nightingale, suggested the OPEC Plus Alliance should assemble a small SWAT team that could take swift tactical action. Instead, it has decided to mobilize its entire army as the Rapid Response Unit. It did so at the end of another week of fractious meetings, which concluded with a signature OPEC Plus compromise that its 23 members could all sign on to. The group, which includes Saudi Arabia, Russia, Iraq, and the United Arab Emirates, agreed to raise its collective output by 500,000 barrels a day from January 1st. So far, so good. It wasn't the three-month delay to raising output that markets had been expecting, but neither was it the imminent return of 1.9 million barrels a day envisaged under the deal struck in April. Then came the kicker. For the foreseeable future, the oil ministers will meet during the first week of each month to decide on subsequent action. All 23 of them. This after they'd only just shown us how unwieldy that can get. Let's hope this doesn't become a roadmap for these new monthly powwows. Monday's virtual gathering of the 13 OPEC ministers broke up without agreement. The bigger OPEC Plus meeting was delayed by 2 days and then by another 2 hours as the start time approached. The intervening days and hours were used for a sort of virtual shuttle diplomacy to try to find a deal everyone could accept. When the full OPEC Plus meeting finally did get underway on Thursday, it was chaired alone by Russia, long an OPEC foe until recently. Saudi Arabia's energy minister, Prince Abdulaziz bin Salman, had made good on his threat to relinquish co-leadership of the group. But there's more than one way to read that decision. Either as the petulant reaction of a man who couldn't get his own way, or as a deft diplomatic move to create the environment needed to ease tensions and allow a compromise to be reached. The prince is a seasoned diplomat who's been credited with orchestrating many past Saudi successes at OPEC as assistant oil minister under both Ali al-Naimi and Khalid al-Fali. I prefer to believe his action was intended to help reach an agreement, especially given Saudi Arabia had really wanted to delay any increase in production targets. The whole week was an intricate, exhausting song and dance. The prince himself characterized it as very excruciating. It seems unimaginable that they really want to subject themselves and oil markets to that every month. They would have done better to devolve the monthly adjustments to a smaller group of members, perhaps using the existing structure of the Joint Ministerial Monitoring Committee, a group of seven ministers that oversees the OPEC Plus Accord but currently has no power to make policy. There would, of course, be howls of protest that output levels are sovereign decisions that shouldn't be given up. But the SWAT team's mandate could be very tightly worded along the lines of the deal they just struck. Its monthly meetings would serve to examine market conditions and decide the following month's production target, which would be applied on a pro rata basis with a maximum charge change in either direction of 500,000 barrels a day. An automatic sunset clause could end the arrangement when the total volume added to supply reaches 2 million barrels a day, the amount originally at stake in April's accord. It's not as if OPEC doesn't have form. Back in March 2000, the group introduced the automatic price band mechanism, which triggered changes of 500,000 barrels a day in overall output quotas when prices strayed outside a $22 to $28 barrel range on a 20-day average basis. These are exceptional times. Oil demand could move rapidly in either direction, depending on the impact of the coronavirus, the need for lockdowns, and the relief provided by vaccines. This unpredictable landscape will call for unusual nimbleness on the oil producers' part. While OPEC Plus has, in a sense, heeded my call, we can all dream, it remains to be seen if the solution will really produce the rapid response required or leave the group bogged down in one fractious meeting after another. Tune in next month and every month thereafter to find out. This article is entitled "Senators Continue Push for Oil and Gas Leasing Reform" from the Carlsbad Current Argus. U.S. Senator Tom Udall, a Democrat from New Mexico, renewed his push to reform federal land leasing for oil and gas as President-elect Joe Biden plans to take office after advocating for a potential moratorium on federal oil and gas leasing throughout the campaign. Udall and Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican Iowa, introduced the Fair Returns for Public Lands Act in February. The measure is intended to modernize the public lands royalty system to increase returns from federal land use by $200 million to federal and state taxpayers in the next 10 years. The senators wrote an op-ed that appeared in the December 2nd edition of the New York Times promoting their bill and justifying its passage during Congress's session that ends in January.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 6th, 2020. Opinion. National view. COVID-19 vaccine is a gift from science. The point, the vaccine is coming. Get ready to accept it. In three separate announcements in recent weeks, three scientific teams at different pharmaceutical companies have given a weary, frightened world what it needs: a verifiable path to defeat the coronavirus pandemic, end the suffering, and start the process of returning life to the normal rhythms of before. Imagine again going to work and school, to restaurants and concerts, without significant risk of infection. Imagine being able to travel. Imagine hugging family members and friends. We are likely to get there in 2021 because a safe, effective COVID-19 vaccine appears on pace for emergency regulatory approval and fast rollout. This gift of science will be ready if we accept it. Wait, if we accept it? The big question about a COVID-19 vaccine has shifted from efficacy to whether enough Americans will agree to receive it. Skepticism of inoculations is frustratingly widespread, despite overwhelming scientific evidence that they work. Shots are unpleasant and sometimes come with side effects. The anti-vaxxer movement has attacked vaccines for mistakenly believing they may cause autism. In the Black community, suspicions run deep because of the legacy of past abuses by the medical system. Dr. Susan Bailey, president of the Chicago-based American Medical Association, tells us she trusts the career scientists in charge of the regulatory process to approve a safe COVID-19 drug. Yet she worries. I think our biggest concern is that we have a great vaccine and people don't take it. A Pew Research Center survey in September of about 10,000 adults found that just 21% of U.S. adults would definitely get a COVID-19 vaccine, and 24% said they definitely would not. The rest were somewhere in the middle, leaning for or against. This is troubling news. If the vaccine becomes an optional response to the pandemic, The virus will continue to spread and cause harm to families and the economy. The country can't get back to work fully until the outbreak is contained, and the vaccine is the way to get there. We have to have a significant number of people take it to get to herd immunity, Bailey warns. The Pew survey asked a theoretical question about a vaccine. We now have some confirmed details and early results from clinical trials of three different vaccines. Those results are promising. Versions from two U.S. drug makers, Pfizer with German partner BioNTech and Moderna, are about 95% effective, the companies report. Both vaccines rely on revolutionary technology that uses messenger RNA, or mRNA, to create protection at the molecular level by injecting a piece of genetic code that primes the body's defenses. Bailey says this would be the first mRNA vaccine to get broad use. A third vaccine, developed by Europe's AstraZeneca and Oxford University, relies on a more traditional method of using a modified inactive cold virus to trigger an immune response. AstraZeneca says its vaccine is about 70% effective, but there is some confusion about the data. When researchers injected test subjects with a half dosage, the effectiveness jumped to 90%. AstraZeneca's vaccine would be less expensive and easier to distribute than the other two because it does not require being kept in a deep freeze. There are still plenty of questions about what the National Vaccination Project will look like, the timing of distribution, and who might get which version of the two injection regimen. The vaccine is expected to be administered without charge because the federal government is paying. Washington is coordinating with the states on the rollout, which should begin before the end of the year. It will take months until most Americans are inoculated. Will it be a one-time shot or every 5 years? No one yet knows. Side effects? Maybe some temporary flu-like discomfort for some people. Those are details. The crucial step will be to break through vaccine anxiety. And the best way to do that is for vaccine developers, regulators, and experts to share as much information as possible about the COVID-19 vaccine's effectiveness and about any shortcomings. Its fast development makes some people uneasy. The power of the anti-vax movement, based on bogus science, hurts credibility. Members of the Black community harbor distrust that dates at least to the infamous Tuskegee experiment, when Black men in Alabama were left untreated for syphilis as part of a study. Those concerns need to be addressed by the medical establishment and by doctors and nurses speaking frankly to individual patients. Need reassurance that vaccines work? Diseases like polio and smallpox were eradicated in the United States by vaccines. Measles disappeared 20 years ago, but it's made a small comeback because some parents stopped vaccinating their children. Need a further dose of confidence? Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading authority on infectious diseases, tells USA Today that once the vaccine gets FDA approval, he'll take it and recommend that his family does too. He says COVID-19 can be defeated and life can begin to return to normal, but only when the overwhelming majority of people are protected by the vaccine and herd immunity kicks in. It's kind of dependent upon us, Fauci said. He's right. Prevention is always better than treatment. The vaccine is coming. Get ready to accept it. The Chicago Tribune. Other Voices. Let's Tear Down Some Walls by State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Those who fought in and survived World War II returned home determined to make sure there would never be a third world war. Despite our shared victory over the Axis powers, it quickly became clear that the United States and the Soviet Union held vastly different views on the value of human life and liberty. Germany was caught in the crosshairs and split down the middle by a wall, with East Germany under the control of the Soviets. As we all know, the Berlin Wall came down, figuratively and literally, shortly after President Ronald Reagan issued the famous line, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Afterward, the Reichstag building, which was nearly destroyed during World War II, was reconstructed to serve as the German equivalent of the U.S. Capitol building, with one major difference, a glass dome. The glass dome allows any visitor to see directly into the building while parliamentary debates are taking place. The architect chose the design because the German people wanted an open, transparent government after seeing what happened when leaders make decisions behind closed doors. The glass dome not only represents transparency, it offers real transparency to German citizens interested in what is taking place in their government. During my time as a Texas state representative, I've learned that the best public policy only comes about when all voices are heard. Transparency and accountability are the absolute bedrock foundations of our constitutional republic. But more transparency is needed at just about every level of government here in Texas. There are walls that must be torn down. That is why I have filed House Bill 664 and House Bill 665 ahead of the 2021 legislative session. H. Bill 664 requires any ballot measure for approval of the issuance of bonds or other public debt to be submitted to voters and taxpayers only during a November election, removing the option to vote on debt during often overlooked and lower turnout elections. HB 665, on the other hand, requires state agencies to obtain legislative approval to renew emergency rules adopted during a state of disaster. I'm excited to work hard to pass HB 664 and 665 to increase governmental transparency in Texas, but that is just the start. There are several more transparency bills I am preparing to file this session. The COVID-19 pandemic has taught us all that ensuring the public has a means by which to hold their elected officials accountable during times of crisis is of the utmost importance. I'm committed to tearing down walls this session so that Texans know exactly how decisions are made and government can operate in the light. God bless Texas. Dear fellow Odessans, Odessa has been our family's home since 1948, and we can honestly say that there is no other place we'd rather live. During this time, our city has been through a lot of ups and downs. We've learned that when it's good, you'd better sock it away for the downturn that will come. We've learned that your word should mean something, and that you should treat everyone fairly. We've learned that integrity and honesty are important. Unfortunately, it seems that our current city leadership has learned none of these things. It is heartbreaking to see our city council spend foolishly on things like $80,000 Christmas trees at a time when our families and our businesses are hurting. It is disheartening to find our city leaders embroiled in bank fraud lawsuits and a failure to pay millions of their own taxes while constantly raising taxes on hardworking families. They are even attempting to take money back from the county. Now we find our livelihoods and our employees' welfare threatened by heavy-handed shutdown orders and illegal mask mandates. What's next? Are they going to line up all of us citizens and force us to be vaccinated, whether we want to or not? We've never before been felt fearful of how far our city's leaders would go, but the current group and their actions has us worried. We have a chance to right our ship in the ongoing city council runoff elections. Will you join us in supporting change in our city? Will you vote for Javier Hoven for mayor, Denise Swanner for city council at large, and Mark Mata for District 1? I have known Javier since junior high school, and while Mark and Denise are more recent friends, we have found them all to have a strong desire to bring honesty, integrity, and an openness to the business of our city that will benefit all Odessans and not just a select few. It's high time Odessa had new leadership instead of the constant rerun of the same tired good old boys with their same corrupt, worn-out ideas. You can early vote now through December 11th. Election day is December 15th. Please vote. These three fine candidates will keep Odessa safe and open. Sincerely yours, Wayne and Jeff Russell.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Washing hands with soap. Dear Dr. Roach, we are often instructed to wash our hands with soap. What kind of soap? Does it need to be antibacterial? What about soaps that are sodium lauryl sulfate free? Answer. I do not recommend antibacterial soaps. The evidence shows they are no better than any other soap. They may also increase resistance, not only to the antibacterial agent in the soap, but to other antibiotics as well. Hence, the Food and Drug Administration removed the most commonly used antibacterial agents from most soaps and body washes in 2016. Regular soap is very effective at removing bacteria and viruses from the hands through a mixture of washing them away and the action of the soap on the germs themselves. Some germs, such as the spores of C. diff, are highly resistant to soap, so it's the washing away part that is critical. And that needs time and running water, at least 20 to 30 seconds. Sodium lauryl sulfate is a common ingredient in soaps and is very effective. However, it can be irritating to some people. Fortunately, SLS-free soaps are also effective at removing most germs from the hands. When hand washing is not practical, alcohol-based antiseptic gel is an alternative in most cases, but not for the C. diff, as mentioned above.
Dear Abby, boyfriend shows true colors after lung cancer diagnosis. Dear Abby, I need your opinion. I have been with the same guy for 27 years. We never married because we were both married before, and I wasn't into doing it again. I have stuck by him through sickness, hard times, and whatever else. 4 months ago, I was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer. I stopped by his house this week to pick up a rug scrubber and walked in on him having sex with some woman. I feel hurt, angry, mad, sad. It's like, why? Do you think he has been doing this and he just got caught or what? I didn't say anything. I just left. He called me later and said it was over between us because I'm sick and can't do anything. I'm in shock. I don't know what to think. I've always been there for him. So why, now that I'm sick and I need him the most, has he turned his back on me? Blindsided in Ohio. Dear Blindsided, I am so, so sorry that you had to find out this way. When the chips are down, that the man you have been involved with for 27 years isn't much of a man after all. I do think he has been doing this all these years. Now it is time to marshal your friends and family and let them know what's going on. If you have been a caring and supportive friend or relative, they should be supportive during this challenging time. The American Cancer Society has support groups for people with cancer if you need someone to talk to. Its website is cancer.org. Please know you are in my thoughts and prayers for both a spiritual and physical recovery. Dear Abby, my family is getting torn apart by my older brother's issue with me. It has become worse over the years, even after his marriage. He seems to be upset with how my life is progressing, and to upset me, he has been copying everything I do. He got engaged and married around the same time I did, He also got a dog right after I did, bought a car right after me, and decided he wanted to start a family as soon as my wife and I announced we are having a baby. My parents constantly make excuses about why his actions are justified. I no longer know what to do. I tried to reconcile with him, but he rebuffed me and says he hates me. It has reached the point that I don't want to be around any of my family anymore because they defend him on everything, despite the facts. What should I do? I seem to be the only person trying to reconcile the relationship and fix, reunite my family. Sad sibling in New Jersey. Dear sibling, I find it hard to believe that your family would side with a sibling who declares he hates his brother and refuses attempts to reconcile. It's important for your mental health that you separate emotionally from your brother. By that I mean dial back the resentment, live your life with your wife and child, and stop obsessing about what your brother does. That he literally follows in your footsteps shows he either admires the choices you make or that he has no imagination of his own. Neither of these should be a problem for you. Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Sagittarius and a moon in Libra. Happy birthday for Wednesday, December 9, 2020. Imaginative, romantic, and daring, you're the star of your life. This year, you don't shine in the spotlight, but you succeed brilliantly with a developing project. Keep your temper and expect even more. If single, you fall in love this year with someone who is incredibly mentally stimulating. If attached, you're the bold protector, slaying dragons for your soulmate. You excite each other. Sagittarius is as dramatic as you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Kindness and patience are of utmost importance today. Be on guard and avoid repeating patterns. A past life connection with a loved one is being played out. Reflect on karmic connections in order to facilitate trust. Tonight, cement a bond by offering praise and support. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. Health will take a turn for the better today. Animal companions are especially in tune with your needs. Enjoy exercise or healing sessions with a loved one. Accept invitations. An admirer is making a special effort to add to your happiness. Tonight, sparkle and surprises. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Today accents social contacts coming through neighbors or siblings. Practice writing the perfect love letter or poem. Communicating your feelings is significant if you are to successfully woo your partner. Tonight, commuter travel can also cause romance to flourish. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 4 stars. Focus on deepening bonds with family members. You'll play host to visitors. Home improvements can be planned. Experiment with bold, bright colors. Hobbies lead to a new career direction. Tonight, children have much to teach you and are a catalyst for change. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Today promises a variety of important emails and phone calls. You will be juggling several projects and appointments simultaneously. You will lead discussions and win debates using clever repartee. Tonight, a great capacity for problem solving is in evidence. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Seek a bargain and enjoy all you have, rather than longing for that which is costly. Be aware of old habits. It's tempting to procrastinate today. Don't be late for really important liaisons and other meetings. Tonight, make sure time doesn't get away from you. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. It can be a little difficult to concentrate today. follow a schedule combined with positive affirmations. Ask others to rephrase if the meaning of their words aren't clear. This is especially true if you're asking about instructions. Tonight, a new sense of optimism develops. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 2 stars. Don't be concerned if you need extra rest and if there are delays. A second chance occurs at a lost love or an old job. However, don't be surprised if old patterns repeat. Tonight, be forgiving if others display poor manners or dress inappropriately. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 3 stars. Your direction will have to be revamped today. Be patient. Success will come. Disputes with a partner can be resolved through the mediation of mutual friends. Purchase an attractive journal and matching pen to record ideas. Tonight, artistic endeavors of all kinds will flourish. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19, 5 stars. Your vitality will be good, and the highest ideals will motivate you. Career ambitions develop. You'll want to contribute and achieve. Avoid involvement in job politics, though. Today shows some delicate situations existing among professional associates. Tonight, all will be well. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 5 stars. Today marks a cycle of renewed energy. Your professional aspirations will bring a special sense of fulfillment. Your writing and teaching abilities will be in top form. You will be an example to others. Consider enrolling in classes. Tonight, your best qualities will shine. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 2 stars. Keep a positive mindset. Negative programming, especially about economic issues, is discouraging. Cope by seeking to understand the force of fate and destiny. Make the best of what is dealt to you. Research that which puzzles you. Tonight, knowledge brings empowerment. Born today, poet John Milton, 1608, director John Cassavetes, 1929, actress Judy Dench, 1934.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.